A truce in the trade war. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams, in for David Brancaccio. President Trump is back in Washington today, freshly returned from a major trip to Asia, where he stepped briefly into North Korea and pressed pause on the ongoing trade war with China. At the G20 summit in Osaka, Japan, the U.S. and China agreed to restart stalled trade negotiations. For more on this, I'm joined by BBC China correspondent Robin Brandt. He's on the line from Shanghai. Good morning.
Good evening from me. Good morning to you.
What are the nuts and bolts of this deal?
There will be no further escalation in the tariffs from the U.S. side. Chinese students visiting the U.S. will get better preferential visa treatment, apparently. And most importantly, the Chinese telecom giant Huawei, it appears to be back in the good books somewhat, because President Trump said he will now allow American firms, technology firms in particular, like Qualcomm, Micron, Intel, to do business with Huawei. What have the Chinese given, so to speak? They're going to buy more agricultural products from the United States. That appears to be it.
So what's left to figure out?
Well, the detail is hugely important here, in particular when it comes to Huawei. It looks like Huawei is on the table in terms of being a part of any future grand bargain, big trade deal between China and the United States. That is something that someone on the U.S. side, in particular Robert Lighthizer, reportedly, the U.S. trade representative, the man leading the negotiations for the U.S., he didn't want that. In terms of the Chinese government, we heard from a Ministry of Foreign Affairs spokesman who said they would welcome the president following through his words in Osaka with actions, but very little detail here from either side.
That's interesting, because U.S. officials have said the tough stance against Huawei has everything to do with national security, not trade. So what does this sort of statement or deal do to that argument in the minds of those Chinese officials?
Well, I mean, Chinese officials have never believed that anyway. I mean, you have this umbrella of national security in terms of the justification for parts of this process from the U.S. side. But as I said, the president, I think, has made it clear in terms of that press conference in Osaka when he made this revelation about Huawei and American firms being allowed to sell to it going forward, that he believes it is a bargaining chip in the ongoing trade negotiations.
So where does this leave the status of the trade war?
Well, it's as we are. There's going to be no escalation on either side. I mean, that's a good thing. The negotiations are going to resume. So Mr. Lighthizer on the U.S. side, Li He, the Chinese vice premier leading the talks to China, they will no doubt try to set a date to meet once again face-to-face, which I think will be the 12th round of talks.
BBC China correspondent Robin Brandt, thank you.
Many thanks.
That trade news is driving markets up. Japan's Nikkei closed up more than 2%. The Shanghai Composite Index ended up 2.2%. The FTSE in London is up 1.2%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up in the 1 to 1.7% range. OPEC ministers are meeting in Vienna and look set to extend limits on oil production until the end of the year. That's a move meant to keep oil prices up. Brent crude is trading at $66.25 per barrel, up 2.3%. How did you learn about money as a kid? For many of us, it was through board games, in particular, Monopoly. The game's changed a lot since it came out during the Great Depression. Lately, it's gone cashless. A brand new version that hits stores today replaces the player acting as a banker with a voice-activated computer. Marketplace's Erica Barris looked into how that might change the game's educational value.
As a kid, Jeremy Shane learned some key financial principles through the board game Monopoly.
A lot about mortgages, a lot about interest, and a lot about real wealth. That was very educational, much more than anything I learned in school at that time.
When he had children, they too played Monopoly. His older kids, now in college, used a traditional version. They bought and sold properties, collected rent, paid tax, all with pastel-colored bills, and tried to drive their siblings into bankruptcy. By the time Shane's younger kids learned to play, it was on a version that used toy debit cards and a card reader.
it made it less about understanding, okay, I have this much understanding about, you know, making change, having cash, setting different piles of cash aside for different budgets and things like that.
Now, Monopoly has a new version that isn't just cashless. It also has a built-in top hat-shaped voice recognition computer that acts as the banker, marketed as a way to thwart cheaters.
Welcome, future millionaires! Press your tokens button to join the game, and I'll put 1,500 Monopoly dollars in your account.
Sociologist Elizabeth Sweet studies toys. She says by cutting out the cash and the human banker,
not having that and having the machine do all of that for you does take some value away.
Because kids aren't asking for help or learning from mistakes made as they count out change. And that's how we learn social skills.
Kids will sort of lose that tactile and interactive component of the learning experience.
But at the same time, kids today are growing up in a world that's increasingly cashless and full of voice-activated machines. Economist Daniel Hammermesh says even if they aren't using bills to buy railroads and utilities, economic concepts like scarcity and making decisions about when to invest and when to hold off are still there.
The pedagogical value should be the same either way, because they still know they have a certain amount that they have access to.
The new version of Monopoly is a strong indicator of where we're going, says Richard Gottlieb, a toy industry analyst.
The toy industry doesn't just anticipate the future. It actually helps shape the future.
Sometimes that future is one where the automated banker has good news.
Your tax refund is here. You got 50 Monopoly dollars back.
Or bad news.
You're bankrupt.
Either way, it's a future where the value of a dollar is just a number in a computer. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.